Blog Talk Radio.
You Can't Clip My Wings, a powerful show that discusses life and how we live it.
Good evening. Good night, that is. I'm sorry I'm 8 minutes late, you guys. I was in the middle of doing something else. Well, welcome again to another episode of the YCCMW 2020 show. I am your host, Salita. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. If you want to call in, 563-999-3576. That's 563-999-3576. Yes. We are here again tonight. If you want to check us out on our Facebook page, it's You Can't Clip My Wings. If you want to check us out on our website, it is YouCan'tClipMyWings.com. If you want to check us out on Instagram, it's YCC at YCCMW2020. Yes, we are here again tonight. Thank you for hanging out with me. And we're going to be talking about the many mighty men of the ministries, Inc., part two. Remember we talked about last night, you got a chance to, I introduced you to the ministers. Okay, I introduced you to Reverend Gordon, Reverend Downey, Minister Blair, and I can't remember all my characters. It's four of them, right, you guys? The other one from Alabama. The other guy from Alabama. Which one? I missed one, didn't I? Cleavon Jordan. That's the other. Reverend Pastor Cleavon Jordan. All right? you got a chance to meet them. You got a chance to actually go on one of their secret trips that they take once a month. You got to understand that the little things that they do when they go on these trips. You know that he went to Arkansas this time. They had a setup in Arkansas. You know that they pay $10,000 for young women to have fun with them, to do things with them. You also got a chance to meet Katie Warren, is her name, briefly. So we're going to concentrate on her tonight. Let's see who else is in here. Yeah, we're going to concentrate on her tonight as much as I can, okay? Again, you guys, if you want to call in, 563-999-3576, 563-999-3576. So let's go ahead and get into it because I'm already late, okay? Katie Warren. Katie looked in the mirror again at her hair. It just seemed as though it didn't want to act right. So she took it down again, shook it out, and then decided to just pin it up in the ponytail. She smiled in the mirror, wiped the lipstick off her white teeth, grabbed her coat, and headed out the door. In the late evening, it was a little cool. She started the car and headed out the driveway of her condo. Katie enjoyed living alone. Being married once was all it took for her to realize that she didn't like being married. It had too many restrictions and boundaries. Now she respected the bond of marriage. Now she did respect the bond of marriage. She just knew that it was not for her. Growing up in a house of restrictions and boundaries as devout Christians, her father was the pastor of the community church. Being a twin to her brother sometimes didn't help. Her father was so overprotected that it made her a little resentful toward him. Katie watched the way he treated her mother, more like a slave than a wife. His deep voice would roar through the house if anything was not in the way it was supposed to be. They had to read the Bible three times a day. They were woke every morning at 5 a.m. for the first reading, and then they would read it after lunch and again after dinner. Katie had real issues about not being able to read the teen magazines or any romance novels, so she would rely on her friends to keep her updated with the latest craze. They also were not allowed to watch TV. Katie remembered the time her father caught her with a book from the public library. Katie was so enthralled in the story that she didn't see her father standing in the doorway. By the time she could shut it, he grabbed the book out of her hand and ripped it in half. "What did I tell you about these sinful books?" Katie lied. "Father, that was a book that I had to read for a class," she said as her eyes watered. "I don't give a damn if you have to read it for the president. I mean what I said about those books. Now you bring another one in my house and I will tear your ass up. I will be contacting your teacher and giving her the names of the books I will allow you to read. Do you hear me?" He pointed his dark, long finger at her. Katie realized why she began to hate her father, and she wanted to hate her mother for allowing him to do the things he did. Her brother Kyle got it worse than she did because he was the male. Her father constantly berated him at every point. "Katie, stop being so disobedient. You know that we're not supposed to be reading those kind of books. You know that drives him crazy when you go against his rules," her brother told her. "I don't believe that we should be living like this. Do you realize we're prisoners in our own home? I hate it here." "Shh, you don't want him to hear you, do you?" "I don't care if he hears me or not." Okay. "I care because I don't want to hear his mouth right now," Kyle said, a little irritated. "Okay, only because you say so." Looking at the marks on her mother's arms and back, always stirred up the hate in her heart for her father. He was beating on her mother more and more. One afternoon after cheerleading practice, Katie was able to come home early. She heard a commotion as she walked up to the pathway of the house. The house was always immaculate because that is how her father wanted it to look when he came home. Katie walked through the living room straight back to where the hollering was going on. "I'm so tired of all the same old shit." Katie couldn't believe that her mother was talking like this. "I'm tired of being your housemaid. I'm tired of being the mother of the church. I'm just tired. I want more out of life, damn it. I want my life." "You have a life. It's here with us, your husband and your kids. Now put that suitcase back in the closet and get in that kitchen. The kids will be home soon. Stop this foolishness. Why don't you get your ass in that kitchen and cook? I'm tired," her mother hollered, followed by a hard hit and a thump. Katie knew what had happened. Her father had hit her mother. "Don't you ever speak to me like that again," her father's voice roared. Pastor Warren couldn't put fear in anyone. He could put fear in anyone. He was 6'4", and he used to play college football, made a habit of staying in shape. His big brown eyes could almost look right through you. Her mother was only 5'6", a chocolate brown, smooth complexion, a beautiful smile, and always wore her hair in a bun right at the nape of her neck. Katie quickly walked away from the door and ran upstairs to her room. She cried so long she felt as though she couldn't produce another tear. Her brother knocked on her door. Kyle had just came in from football practice. Excuse me. "Where's mom and where's dinner? She knows dad will have a fit if he comes home and finds there's no food cooked." Kyle noticed that his sister's eyes were red and her face swollen from the crying. "Why are you crying? Sit down, Kyle. You need to hear this." Kyle threw his bag down by her bed and sat down facing her. "Mom doesn't want to be here anymore. I heard her tell dad she's tired. She's just mad. Mom loves doing what she does. How do you know that? Do you ever ask her how she feels? If you did, I never heard you ask her. Mom is here day in and day out. You never see him take her anywhere unless it involves church. She doesn't buy new clothes or go to the hairdresser or get her nails done. Mom is not unhappy. She's just wanting attention that dad is not giving her. Between work and church, dad can't even breathe. Mom will be fine." Kyle was a replica of his father, self-centered, arrogant, and a little narcissist. It was like talking to a brick wall. Katie was so angry with her twin. "Get out. You're just as lame and stupid as he is." Kyle jumped up and ran out of the room, slamming the door. Mother Warren quietly slipped out of bed. Her eye was swollen from the earlier assault. She meant what she said. She needed to breathe again. She looked at the clock and noticed that her husband would be woke in about 2 hours. She made sure she packed as little as possible. She hid the cash she had saved. She realized this was the best time to leave. She had already made arrangements for a pickup. So far, her plan was working. She grabbed her sweater off the chair, looked back at her husband's huge body snoring. Then she walked to each of her baby's rooms and kissed them lightly on the heads. That was 14 years ago, and during that time, their father met someone else and got married. The members of the church were very sympathetic to the needs of the children. Every single woman tried their best to take their mother's place. Katie never felt sorry for her father. She was glad that her mother left him, but she was hurt too because her mother left them behind. They only heard from her maybe 4 times after she left. Katie grew up without her mother. Her resentment made her want to kill her father for driving her away. Katie's world was again turned upside down when she lost her virginity involuntarily. One day, while at church, where she had the duty of cleaning up, the kitchen, Katie just finished putting up the dishes that were in the dishwasher. She had just finished putting up the dishes that were in the dishwasher. Katie thought at the time she was the only one left in the church. She folded the dish towel and laid it neatly on the countertop, turned off the lights, and walked out. Katie walked toward the back door to make sure the door was locked. As she walked down the dark hallway, there appeared Deacon Thomas. He was the youngest of the deacons, a college student and an athlete. The girls at the church were throwing themselves at him, from blowjobs in the restroom to having sex with the pretty young things in the Sunday school classrooms. He couldn't understand why Katie was not interested in him or offered him any of her goodies like the rest of them. "Hey, Katie, you scared me. What are you still doing here?" she said, placing her hand over her heart. "I didn't mean to scare you. I was just finishing up some paperwork," he said, smiling. "Well, I need to lock up. Are you sure you're finished?" Looking behind him, Deacon Thomas said, "Wait, let me make sure. You can come back with me for a sec. "Okay, we have to hurry. It's getting dark." Katie walked back to the office with Deacon Thomas. They got to the door, and just inside the office, Katie stood there. "I'm not going to eat you. You can come on in." As soon as she stepped inside, Deacon Thomas quickly locked the door. "Well, well, well, Miss Katie Warren, beautiful, talented, stuck-up, snobby preacher's daughter who thinks she's better than everyone else. I can get all that pussy I want from all the cuties here at church, but I can't get close to Katie's tight twat. I wonder why." Katie was in shock. She knew his reputation, but she didn't know he felt that way about her. She always said good things about him. He was so good with the children, even mentored some of the young boys. Deacon Thomas walked slowly over to her with his hands on his, rubbing it up and down. "I bet your sweet caramel tight is delicious. Look how hard you're making me. I have been wanting to get that for the longest." He grabbed her and put his hands under her skirt, and he felt the warmth of her panties. Deacon Thomas was about to in his pants. Katie remembered some moves and stomped on his toe as hard as she could and then ran to the door trying to unlock it. "You bitch!" Deacon Thomas' toe was killing him, but he couldn't let her see his pain. This fueled his anger even more. He caught her at the door and slammed himself against her small frame. He quickly undid his pants and he pushed up her skirt and took her from behind, not once but twice. He left her there in the dark crying. Katie was determined never to let anyone else take advantage of her ever again. She made it her mission to make every man pay for what Deacon Thomas did to her. She parked her car in front of the restaurant, looked in the mirror one more time, and got out of the car. Everyone who knew her knew red was her favorite color. The red jumpsuit with the waist-length jacket and the DK shades, purse with matching Jimmy Choo shoes, walked into the restaurant like a movie star. The waiter knew who she was and escorted her to the table where Cleavon sat in his Italian-made suit and matching tie. He had smooth skin and manicured hands. "Well,
I thought you were going to stand me up, Cleavon said, smiling. If I was going to stand you up, I wouldn't have given you my information, she said, shaking her head. Katie was told more than once that she could pass for a musical artist, Jardé, especially when she wore her hair in a bun at the nape of her neck. She took that as a compliment because she loved Jardé. Her soft brown hair was thick and when wet would make tiny curls all over her head. She usually wore it straightened. Her perfectly sculptured face and her long neck set perfectly on her delicate shoulders and she had a shape out of this world. Legs were still muscular from years of cheerleading and exercise. Now, why was it that you needed to see me? She asked Cleavon. I need to know if this is a meeting for pleasure or for business. You can call it whatever you want, just as long as I can spend time with you, he answered, sipping his drink. They ordered a salad and some fruit. The conversation was so deep that they didn't notice that the restaurant was slowly being emptied out as the patrons were slowly leaving. Katie realized right from the start that he was an avid football fan just like her. Katie looked down at her watch. Oh, my, I have to get back. I need to check at the office before the day is out. Cleavon didn't waste any time. I want to see you again. Sure, we can set a date. She was about to pull out her phone. No, I'm talking about tonight. I want to see you again tonight. I'm not going back until tomorrow. I thought you could show me around town. Katie thought about it. Let me see what I have to do at the office, and I'll give you a call. The waiter came over with a ticket, and Cleavon gave him a black card. Katie didn't miss that. She saw that black card. They both left. By the time she got to her office, there was a huge bouquet of flowers on the reception's desk. This is for you. Wow. Hold up, you. Yeah, that's right. Okay. We're going to take a little break. I know it's kind of early, but we're going to go ahead and take a little break. I need to drink something real quick. Again, you guys call in at 563-999-3576. That's 563-999-3576. And join us on the Mighty Men's of Ministry, Inc., Part 2. Definitely go back and listen to Part 1, get a feel of the story, then come back over here and hang out with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived in Philadelphia. Local time is 3:05 p.m. and the temperature is 67 degrees. At this time, you are now free to use your cellular devices.
You know that feeling when you get to turn your phone on after the plane lands? You can have that feeling every time you drive. Make sure your cell phone is stowed away whenever you are behind the wheel.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
You're fluent in texting.
Honey, what does IDTTSWA mean?
It means I'm going to the store, want anything. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org for a quick 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. And it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Check out aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
All right, you guys, we are back. We are back. We are back here at YCCMW 2020 as we discuss the Mighty Men of Ministry, Inc., Part 2 by C.B. McCall. We are talking about Katie Warren. We found a lot about her, what she's been going through in her life, where she's at in her life right now. And we do know that we found out who the minister, one of the four ministers that she is not having an affair with, because we don't know if that's true or not, but how it's getting started, okay? 563-999-3576. That's 563-999-3576. All right, so let's go ahead and get back into it. Wow, eyes were big. Slowly, Katie's eyes were big, excuse me. She slowly carried the heavy vase to her desk. She made room on her round table next to the window. Someone tapped on the door. Come in. Hey, how are you? Those are nice, Doretha said, being nosy and feeling a little jealous. The bouquet was large and made of pure crystal. The bouquet vase of pure crystal. Katie stood back and admired the bouquet. The large variety of roses, colors like red, yellow, orange, purple, pink, even black roses. Katie read the card and smiled. Katie, you must have a secret admirer, Doretha said, smiling. He can't be a secret admirer until I make him one, and that, my child, is still in the making, Katie said, grinning. Well, whoever he is, for some reason, he likes you enough to spend that kind of money on you. After placing the flower arrangement on the table, Katie grabbed the card and sat down at her desk. Picking up the phone, she began to press buttons. Looking up, she noticed that Doretha was still standing there. You can go now, dismissing Doretha with the wave of her hand. Doretha whipped around and closed the door sharply behind her. Hello? May I speak with Pastor Jordan? Well, hello. I want to thank you for the flowers. They're lovely. I thought you would like them, Cleavon said, smiling. Now I will have to let you buy me some other things I didn't ask for. Whatever your heart desires, I want to grant its wishes. Katie found herself blushing. They had some more small talk and promised to see each other that night. Cleavon asked before hanging up, can you keep this between us? I don't think your pastor would be happy knowing that we were seeing each other right now. I do agree with you on that. This could be our little secret. Great. I will see you then. Sure, she said, hanging up the phone. The Reverend Garden walked in. Well, you've been very hard to keep up with, looking over toward the huge bouquet on the table. Katie knew that Doretha went and opened her big mouth about the flowers. Now the whole office will be coming in and out attempting a peek. Yeah, they're gorgeous, Katie said, smiling at the pastor. I knew Doretha would have already called you to give you the news. I just want to know if he's a church-going man and when will you be introducing him to us? Yes, he is a church-going man, and no, I will be keeping him to myself, because I don't think I need to let everyone into my private life. I think some things should be left alone, she said, flashing a pretty smile. Her eyes glazed over. The pastor knew just what she was talking about. The incident Katie was referring to was the time she walked in on Doretha, him and Doretha. He had his pants around his ankle and slamming himself inside Doretha. She had long dark legs. She had her long dark weight. I can't even talk. Her long dark legs wrapped around his muscular back. Katie looked Doretha in the eyes as she was in the throes of her orgasm, as though Doretha welcomed her, watching them, savoring the moment of being caught. Katie stood there for a moment, watching them hump like two wild animals, moaning, groaning, and sweating. Oh, they got caught doing it. Oh, wow. Teddy knew that Doretha told him that she saw them because for a while he avoided her. Finally, one day after a conference call with one of their affiliate churches, he asked her to stay behind. "Look, before you say anything, Pastor, that is your business, what you do or who you do it with. You didn't have to avoid me. I can understand why, but I really don't care who you fuck in your office or anywhere on these grounds. Just be careful and always make sure your doors are locked." Katie never let him say a word. She grabbed a portfolio and water, dressed in her red satin two-piece fitted dress, and walked out. Katie realized that she really didn't like the pastor, not because he cheats on his wife, but because of his arrogance. It's strange how being a reverend who is supposed to be humble and mild-mannered, but Reverend Garden was a whole different kind. She loved putting men in their place, so even knocking them down off their high horses. "Well, I can understand if you don't want to share him with anyone, especially around here with the other ladies," he said in a sarcastic voice. She slowly sat back in her chair, looking up at him. "Really? I would think you would be very glad that I don't bring him around here, because then that would greatly cut your chances of any of your church whores taking their attention off of you." The pastor stood stiff as a board in his burgundy Armani suit. "You know, if you don't like working here, you can always leave. I know you would like for me to just go away, but I love what I do. I just don't like who I have to do it for. In the name of the Lord," she said mockingly. "You know what? I realize that you're evil, Katie." "Why am I evil? What have I done to give you the indication that I'm evil? And please don't tell me the Holy Spirit showed you," she said, smiling. "The only evil in this room right now," her lips were slightly wet as she smiled at him. Garden remembered when she first came to work for the church, he lusted after her. Those eyes, those lips, her beautiful perky breast. At that moment, he dismissed himself and went to his office to take care of himself. All the female employees instantly hated her at first. All the guys wanted her, and the women of the church envied her. She had been working for the church for now about 6 months, and she made so many positive changes for the organization. They had to keep her on because they realized that she wasn't just another pretty face. She was very powerful. "Now you've seen my flowers. If you have nothing else for me, you can leave, Pastor Garden." She got up to walk around the desk. Garden instantly got a hard on. He secretly loved the fire she had in her. He wanted to tame that tongue with his thick, you know what. He smiled to himself. As she walked around him, the aroma of her perfume made him feel like he wanted to explode. He grabbed her and stuck his tongue in her mouth, and her warm breath smelt of cinnamon. At first, Katie wanted to pull away, but for some reason, she found herself a little turned on by the fact that the pastor wanted to do her, knowing she would never give him a chance. Their kiss lasted a little longer than she wanted it to. He took her hands and put it on his hardness. She was a little flattered that she got a rise out of him. When she finally pulled away, she looked him in the eyes and noticed he was about to bust from the kiss. She wiped her mouth with the back of her hands. "That will never happen again. Only in your wet dreams. Remember that. Now please leave my office." Like a little boy, the big, tall, handsome preacher walked out and unsatisfied. Doretha had left for the day, so he went to visit his youth director, who was in her office preparing for the next trip to Memphis. She looked up, and there standing in front of her was a powerful, muscular, handsome Pastor Elmer Garden, the man of her dreams. Maggie didn't deserve him. He needed her in his life. He closed the door behind him and locked it. She already knew what that meant. She came for him. She came from behind the desk smiling. Quickly removed her panties and lifted her skirt, exposing her hairless mouth. He couldn't wait to get in there. "Damn, baby, you already knew what I was thinking," he said, unzipping his pants and unbuckling his belt. "You've been thinking about me? Because I sure have been thinking of your big cock inside me." "You know I have, baby," he lied as he quickly pulled down his pants, bobbing up and down in front of her. She grabbed it, rubbing it, and rubbed it down and kissed him. His hands were all over her perky, medium-sized breasts. He pulled them out of her bra and started sucking them. He was about to let go when she guided him inside. He thrust forward. She let out a small yell, strictly out of shock. She had no desire for any other man in her life. She prayed that he would leave his wife and become her husband. So in the meantime, she waited patiently for him. As they had sex on her desk, Garden imagined it was Katie, those lips, her eyes, and those damn round hips. He gripped the youth director tighter, and she held on to the ride, held on for the ride she had been waiting for so long. The heat rose up between them as their bodies pounded each other against each other. Garden couldn't stop thinking about her. He saw in his mind that he was trying to tame Katie. He saw her as a wild horse that needed to obey him. When he came to her, and she would do everything he told her to do without asking why. He could feel the youth director about to release her orgasm, and he wanted to feel every muscle tighten around her. So he slammed into her one last time. Wow. Ooh. Okay, y'all. So far, we getting a lot of action. These are some horny people. I'm just going to say it. These are some really horny people. I don't know why, but they are. Don't make no sense. Okay? But they are. As you can see, the pastor ain't no joke. The pastor got a lot of energy, and the pastor do a lot of things. He busy running around the office throwing himself at these women. Okay? He got Dorita. He got, let's see who else he got. He got Dorita. There we go. Yeah. He trying to get Katie. Katie not interested, but she like playing with him. And now he messing with the youth director. Now we ain't finished now. This is the end part of the youth director, and then we're gonna move on. It says the youth director screamed in his mouth as she came. He pounded faster and harder into her. This made her come three more times. Elmer released all his pent-up aggression inside her. She held on tightly, not letting him waste not one bit of it. Her legs tightened around him. She was whimpering like a little puppy, and between her whimpers, she told him she loved him. Expecting him to say it back, she was quickly disappointed. When they finished, he smiled at her. She got dressed. He straightened his clothes and walked out, blowing her a kiss. The youth director was satisfied to the core. Smiling, she went back to doing her work. She was grateful for that. Yes, she was grateful that her pastor from time to time liked to fuck her. She couldn't wait until the next time. Her pussy was still throbbing from her orgasm. So she's delusioned to believe that this man really truly wants her. Okay? So now you got another person that's very delusional. You got Dorita, now you got the youth choir director. Man, youth choir director, excuse me. Man, do you see what's going on here? This is crazy, okay? You want to call in 563-999-3576, 563-999-3576. You guys, let me say this. Y'all might hear me mix and mingle some words. Sometimes I just don't want to say the word, so don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong or I'm saying anything wrong. I just want you to understand, okay, that sometimes I don't want to say all the words. And if you see the words being missed, when you get the book, you can read it. Again, you cannot copy this. You cannot take this story and do anything with it. It is copyrighted, okay? Just letting you know right off bat. Yeah, it's already copyrighted. So don't touch it. All right? Okay. So let's go ahead, and I'm going to – is that where I want to be at? Let me make sure that's where I want to be at. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, this is where I want to be. Okay, I just want to make sure I'm in the right spot. All right, so here we go. Let the sun shine in. It was almost time again for another monthly meeting. They decided to go to Las Vegas this time, and as they were making arrangements one night on a conference call, they hired someone to take care of all the preliminaries, from the rooms to the girls. They were leaving out that Thursday instead of Friday, giving them enough traveling time. They were able to get a penthouse suite with 3 bedrooms attached. The girls were beautiful. The youngest one was from the islands, and the others were American. They all began the night at the casinos, dancing and then dinner, and back up to the penthouse where the fun began. Elmer, for some reason, hadn't shaken Katie out of his mind, so he made sure that his date looked like her, from her hair color to her hair and body shape. Cleavon noticed that the girl did resemble Katie in a weird kind of way, but he dared not to mention it to Elmer. He played it off as he imagined having sex with Katie himself. Even though they came close, she still wanted to wait. He didn't know how much longer he was going to be able to wait. She would always send him to his car aroused, but wouldn't leave until he got himself in the driveway. Okay, he must have did something in the driveway. Okay, we'll leave it like that. Sean was watching out the corner of his eyes as Elmer sat on the bar stool with his date's mouth. Okay, got it? His lip was soft looking, and her lips were soft looking, and her mouth was sucking so hard you could hear it. She didn't want to let go as Elmer held her head steady so that he could slowly in and out of her face. Sean then looked in the direction of Cleavon. He had a fascination with fruit. He stuck an ice-cold grape in the ladies in his date's, and he ate it out. She was going crazy. She bucked her hips forward, trying to make him drown in her on his face. He buried his in her, you know what. Sean then looked over at Timothy, who was about to enter his date from behind. She took his like a trooper, and before you know it, she was pushing back against him, begging for more. At the same time, she was staring right at Sean, licking her lips. So he moved his girl off his lap and walked over to her, and he shoved his in her mouth. She sucked hungrily on his, moaning loudly. What she didn't know is that her moaning was turning Timothy on. About 4 strokes down, he blanked in the rubber, holding on her tightly. Sean started pumping his in her face. It didn't take long before he filled her face with, you know, she swallowed every bit of it. When she finished sucking, she smiled at him and laid down on the couch as though Timmy slowly pulled out, slapping her on her ass. Another great weekend for the Mighty Men of Ministries, Inc. They couldn't wait until the next month. Going back to their normal lives sometimes became hard. They loved the freedom, not having to put on a robe and stand in front of the pulpit and tell the people how important it was for them to obey God. Wow. That was deep. Another night of bliss and sex, okay, for them. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying bliss and sex for them, okay? This time they went to Las Vegas. You got one of them fantasizing about the young lady named Katie. He fantasized so bad about her, they found somebody who resembled her. One of the other pastors, matter of fact, Pastor Jordan, noticed that this young lady kind of looked like him, okay? It's amazing how probably these stories are so true in some situations. Again, 563-999-3576, 563-999-3576. We're going to get a little bit more in before we head home. Okay. Red Star Shining. Maggie was just finishing up with a client when the phone rang. Hello? When was the last time you checked on your husband? What? Who the hell is this? I'm not who you need to worry about. Again, when was the last time you went to the office and watched your husband in action? First of all, he's a grown man. He can take care of himself. Wait a minute. I don't need to talk to you about my business. You are right, but I think you should pay more attention to him than what color drapes that will go in your client's house. The phone went dead. Maggie stared at the phone before hanging it up. She went back to working on a new project without thinking twice about it. She was used to women going after her husband. Many have lied on him, and she understood her role as the mother of the church, and if she thought he was doing something, he already knew the consequences. Maggie had bigger fish to fry right now, and she is not her husband's keeper. Being married to a powerful preacher of a mega church, a handsome man can come with a lot of drama. But for some reason, it was not the case with Pastor Garten. He seemed to be able to keep the drama at a minimum. That night at dinner, Maggie mentioned the phone call, looking for a reaction from him. She didn't get her wish. Now, honey, come on. We don't entertain that nonsense. You feel like you want to come to the office. You know you can at any time, he said, sipping his wine before taking another bite of his steak. My problem is with why would I get that call anyway? Again, baby, stop worrying your pretty little head. You're welcome to come down to the office to see if I am out of place with anyone. My job is to counsel and lead people to the Lord. If there's something sinister about that, then I need to find another profession. People are going to always find something to gossip about. Now, can we stop talking about this nonsense? Let's finish eating so that I can ravish you, he said, smiling. He was wondering who was attempting to destroy his little setup at the church. He had to be more careful with the way he was doing his business. He couldn't get distracted. They had too much at stake. After making love to his lovely wife, he watched her sleep soundly, quietly snoring. Her naked, warm body laying next to him was more than what he deserved. Maggie had loved him despite all his flaws, including his arrogance and his ego and all the other things that went along with being who he was. She never wanted to leave him as always a dutiful wife that was beautiful, articulate, talented, and smart in one package. Maggie never looked her age, so there were times when she was mistaken for his daughter or sister, which always made her blush. Elmer slowly got out of bed and headed to his office. He sat there trying to think who would make a phone call like that to his wife. He had three candidates, Katie, Doretha, and the youth director. He could see Katie being vicious enough to do that. The other two worshipped him, so he didn't think they would do something like that. Elmer decided he wouldn't think about it. In the back of his desk, he had a picture of Katie that was taken while she was naked standing in her bedroom. Yes, he hired someone to set up a camera to get a picture of her nakedness. Katie's body was a perfect hourglass, her soft, small shoulders, her creamy, smooth skin, her small waist and flat stomach. She always kept her pubic hair shaved, clean, and her breasts were round and supple. He could taste her nipples in his mouth. Elmo found himself hard again. He grabbed one of the Kleenex and he relieved himself while looking at the picture of Katie. When he finished, he went to the bathroom, cleaned up, and went back to bed, laying close to his wife's naked body, thinking about Katie. Wow. Okay, this man is already obsessed. Okay, she is the administrator at his church. You're out of line, okay? Pastor Garten, you're out of line. 563-999-3576, 563-999-3576. Again, Pastor Garten, you're out of line. The next morning at breakfast, they talked about their schedule and making arrangements to get away for the weekend. So, so somebody wants to get away for the weekend. Okay. I was thinking we could go to the Black Ballet, maybe see a couple of shows and a shopping spree. What do you think? That would be a great idea. We can take our time and come back maybe Wednesday. Before I answer that, I will look at my schedule to see if I can move some things around, okay? She kissed him on the forehead before walking out the room. Elmer finished drinking his coffee and reading the newspaper. The phone rang. It was Sean. Good morning, man. How is everything going? Things are going great. I was wondering, can we do lunch today? You sure everything is fine? Right? Yeah. I just want to run something by you. Great. What about 11 at Stevie's? Sure. He hung up with Sean and went to his office, looked at some files, balanced his books, and left to go to the office at church. Doretha greeted him with a big smile and tight skirt and a form-fitting shirt, making her perky breasts look as though they were choking. The stiletto heels made her legs look more muscular, and the scent of her perfume was just a little bit too loud. Good morning, Pastor, she said, bringing his messages and some folders. She closed the door behind her. Good morning, Doretha, he said as he took the messages out of her hand. Doretha was elated that she was the first thing he looked at when he came in. I could tell you already had coffee because the time you came in today, so I know that you don't want any. Is there anything else I can get for you? Doretha said for some reason she was horny. She imagined him between her legs and her receiving every inch of his meat as she giggled aloud. What is so funny? What is so funny? Oh, no, I'm not about to share this with you, she said, smiling at him, almost blushing. Doretha found herself squirming like a little girl in front of him. She didn't want to make it obvious that she wanted him right now. Are you all right, Doretha? Yes, I am fine, Pastor. I better get back to work. She quickly walked out the door before she would find herself on her knees, taking him in her mouth. He smelled so good she could eat him. Wow, she wanted to eat him. Wow, okay. Pastor sat back in his chair pondering on who would have made that phone call to his wife. He thought about his women. Doretha just wanted the sex. She wasn't in love with him. The youth director, he felt she was harmless and she wouldn't go that far. She admired Maggie and he knew she was madly in love with him. She knew nothing would ever come of that. Then Katie's beautiful smile came across his mind. Now she would do something like that. She would call my wife and smile while doing it. Pastor knew he had to keep a close eye on her because for some reason other than watching him doing Doretha, she didn't like him. Katie was too valuable to let go. She had turned this whole administration department around. She brought in money that they were not able to acquire at any other time. She is a great organizer, and most of the employees like her. She's fair, and she really cares about them. But Elmer had this feeling beneath the expensive clothes and perfume. Katie was hiding something. Maybe he will need to do a background check on her. He wanted to her, but he didn't trust her. So he already had an indication that he couldn't trust her. Okay? Think about that. When they can't trust you and they already know it, it's something else going on. Okay? Keep that in mind. So we're going to take a little break one more time.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats.
talk to your family, and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice the 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had
to choose between getting medicine or groceries?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Major key alert, don't ever play yourself. Life is like school. You will be tested, so pass it.
Learn the real major keys to getting to college at GetSchooled.com.
Stay focused. Now that's a major key alert.
Brought to you by Get Schooled and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here on YCCMW 2020. I'm your host, Alita. Call in at 563-999-3576. 563-999-3576. We're almost winding down, you guys. Wow. We're here reading from The Mighty Men of Ministries, Inc., Part 2 by C.B. McCall. So much is going on right now, you know. We're at a point now where there's some mysterious phone calls are being made to the pastor's house, which is Pastor Garten. Elmer Garten is his name. We found out that he's having an affair with all these different people, and he's doing a lot of stuff. So we're going to find out, we're going to see if we can find out where these phone calls are coming from, okay? He called Maggie to see if she had checked her schedule, and she said yes, that she cleared her calendar, then got Dorita to make reservations for them. He felt a little more at ease. He asked for Dorita to come in his office. When she came in, she automatically locked the door and slipped off her panties. The pastor was instantly aroused. Something about Dorita's dark, smooth, silky skin attracted him to her. He stuck his finger in her. She squealed and moaned. Golly, these people are so sexualized. This is crazy. He looked her straight in the face while he, okay, she pulled away and dropped down on her knees. Before he knew it, he laid back and let her do her job. When she finished, she straddled him and, okay, before you knew it, he grabbed her by the waist, okay, he didn't want to, okay, and she slowed down, okay. Dorita wanted to just blank all the time. She didn't need him. She needed his. Nothing else mattered. As she, thinking about him in her, it was driving her wild. Okay, so we're going to leave that there. I'm not going to say what happened next. Elmer, listen to what you said. Elmer, listen to what you said. He couldn't stop the explosion. Okay. She knew she wanted to holler. She saw it on his face. She put her mouth over his and let out a guttural moan. They cleaned up, sprayed the office because it smelled like hot, sweaty sex. She smiled and walked out the door on watery legs. I was just looking for you. Will you be able to take notes at this meeting? It will be in an hour. Oh, wow. So she ran into somebody. Dorita tried not to look guilty, but she was at the point where she almost didn't care. By the way, that Katie was already onto them. Dorita tried to look like everything was fine, but it didn't work. Katie knew that Katie knew what a blank looked like on a woman. So she kind of automatically saw, wait a minute, hold up, okay? Can I give you some advice, Dorita? be careful. I know I am new here, but I'm very observant, and you can bet so are others. I'm not telling you this out of jealousy. I'm telling you this out of concern. Doretha looked around. Katie, you don't understand. It's like something comes over me, and I can't get enough of him. To be truthful, I really don't like him as a person. I just like, I'm sorry for being so blunt, but that is it. I don't know how the First Lady do it. I would keep him in bed. I would keep him between all the time. Hold up, Doretha. That's too much information. I just want you to be careful, that's all. I hear you. I will. I will try. She put on a nervous smile. I will see you about 20 minutes. Give me some time to freshen up. Katie walked down to her office. She almost caught them again. She thought to herself, I guess when you're in lust with someone, that is what happens. She's gone. She's probably only half heard of the things I said to her. Katie then thought about Cleveland. I wonder what he would be like in bed. I hope this will never happen to her. She has no desire to fall for any arrogant, godly assholes, but she loved playing the game. She texted him, GA, I hope your day is going well. He sent back, how can it go well when you're not in it? We can fix that when and where. I will have you picked up and bring a bag. I will do. Will do, excuse me. See you then. Oh, we're down to 3 minutes. Katie's plan is going well. She was ready to do it. It's now or never. She smiled to herself. It had been 2 months now. She had sent him home with a... Katie grabbed her things for a meeting, checked herself in the mirror one more time, and then walked out the room. So... somebody's addicted to something, okay? They don't care about the person. They just, what we call dickmatized right now, okay? It's called dickmatized. Katie's trying to tell her, chill out with it. People are seeing it. You got to be careful what you do. You know, who's to say they can't hear them when they walk past the door? You know, I don't know. But that's where we're at right now. Katie is going to meet up with Cleavon. Obviously, Cleavon is, I thought Cleavon lived in, Alabama? Yeah, so he's here a lot. He lives in Birmingham, Alabama, but he here a lot. For some reason, he's hanging in Atlanta a lot. We're going to leave it right there. We will be coming back tomorrow and continue with this. So you guys, you have a great night. I shall talk to you later. Take good care of yourself. I'll be back tomorrow because I want us to finish this up. All right. So you guys have a great night. We love you here on YCCMW 2020. Don't forget to help our website. You Can't Clip My Wings. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page. You Can't Clip My Wings. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go. Have a great night. We love you. I cannot believe I did that.